News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
The Israeli government have accused Hamas of a gross violation of the ceasefire and lying about the identity of one of the bodies that were returned, of the four hostages that were returned to Israel yesterday. And for more on this, I'm joined now by Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent. Good morning to you, Alistair. Shiri Bibas, they are saying, is not the fourth body that was returned yesterday. Israel is accusing Hamas of sending an anonymous Gazan woman's body in a coffin, and obviously, I suppose, complete disgust. Is that fair to say on the Israeli part after all of this?
Yeah, I think so. Disgust and real anger. I think that's echoed as well around the world. You know, the release yesterday of the four bodies was always going to be a very, very difficult moment for Israel. We've seen the successful release of living hostages over recent weeks. That's had its difficulties as well, when some of them have been in very bad condition. But the release of these four bodies, and particularly the Bibases, the three Bibases, Shiri, Ariel and Kafir, was always going to be a very hard moment for the Israeli public. Yeah. But to have the news come in overnight that one of those bodies is not who it's supposed to be, and it's not the mother, it's not Shiri Bibas, has left people confused, disgusted, as you say, and really annoyed.
Yeah. The other thing that is said, obviously, Hamas have maintained that the Bibases were killed in an Israeli airstrike. Israel is now saying that the little children who lest we forget, were 10 months and 4 years of age, Ariel and Kafir, that they were brutally murdered, is what Israel is saying. Now, what does this do you think, to the current ceasefire situation, Alistair? Obviously, this is an unexpected development, I would suggest.
Yeah, puts a lot of pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu from both directions. So, you know, in terms of where we are with the first phase of the ceasefire, we're almost sort of getting towards the end of it. So, six living hostages, the final six living hostages to be released in the first phase, are set to be released tomorrow. And then there are a number of bodies to be released next week. And then the first phase, in terms of hostage releases, is over. And I suspect that, you know, Netanyahu will not want to do anything that jeopardizes the coming days. But the question mark hangs over what happens next, and the second phase, which hasn't, you know, the negotiations were supposed to begin some time ago, yeah, and they've not really got off the ground. And there's kind of chat about perhaps extending the first phase. There's obviously chat within Israel about it collapsing altogether and going back to the fighting. At the same time, you've got a number of Arab nations in Riyadh today trying to put together a sort of a counter proposal for Gaza to counter Trump's suggestions. So there's an awful lot going on. There's no guarantees we'll get to a second phase. But I think, you know, the key now will be to get the six hostages out tomorrow alive, and to get the remaining bodies out, and to make sure that Shiri Bibas is returned home. And we'll see where the discussions and negotiations go from there.
Yeah, I wonder what can come of that is good. You were saying that they'll want to get through the next phase, but of course those three buses exploded in Tel Aviv in what Israel is describing as a terror attack. Benjamin Netanyahu has green-lighted a military operation in the West Bank. How is that going to play out in terms of all of this?
Well, this is a really worrying development. I mean, the idea that there is a bomb-making cell in the West Bank, you know, we sort of had an idea that there might be one about, I'm trying to remember, I think 6 or 7 months ago, there was some science, but it kind of went quiet on that front. And then, you know, the prospect that there is a cell within the West Bank that has the capability of creating explosions, although it looks like these went off prematurely, but still, you know, that is very, very concerning for the Israelis. But, you know, they've been carrying out a major military operation in Tulkarm, in Jenin, and elsewhere in the West Bank for a number of weeks now, an operation that was due to probably conclude in the next week or so. My guess is before Ramadan was due to start. And so it's hard to see. I mean, they can obviously up the scale of it. They're sending in three more battalions of the IDF. You can increase the number of checkpoints. You can extend the time that you operate in some of the refugee camps. You can expand the scope of the operation to take in new areas in the West Bank. But I think, you know, the result is what we'll see is we'll see more violence in the West Bank, and we'll see life very, very hard for Palestinians.
I'm completely sure of that. But Alistair, could that jeopardise what is happening in terms of a ceasefire in Gaza, do you think? Or do you think that it is possible to keep those two things distinct?
I think it's possible to keep them distinct. It's definitely possible to keep them distinct, and that they'll need to try and establish who is behind the explosions that went off in Tel Aviv last night. It's not necessarily linked to Hamas. Hamas's presence in the West Bank is far less than it is in Gaza, so it could be another militant group. So they might be able to distinguish the two. I think that is possible. But, you know, things don't happen in isolation anywhere in the Middle East, let alone Israel, Gaza and the West Bank.
Alistair Bunkel, Sky News Middle East correspondent, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.